Good morning. Today is a Friday. What can you tell with the weather outside?
Oh,
yesterday was dandy,
goodness.
And now it's like this dark thing.
No, we got spoiled yesterday. It was so nice outside.
Oh, joining us this morning from College of the Redwoods, Mr. Quello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. It's about time for you, though, to determine how your morning is going to go.
You're always stumping me with these quotes. Shows the world how truly ignorant I am.
Okay. Let's see if we can find something here that might... Okay, here we go. Diggings. Where did diggings as a synonym for lodgings come from?
Oh, it's interesting because it sounds slang, but I don't have any idea.
This is generally supposed to be a British term for lodgings, but it actually started during the days of the gold rush in California.
That would make more sense.
Where each man had his own diggings.
Well, hopefully it wasn't digging a hole in the ground and covering it with some branches.
Yeah, no, that's called a pit.
Yeah.
Oh, my. So what's got you excited this morning about going to work?
Well, we're up in enrollment, which I think is always extremely encouraging for College of the Redwoods and just the community as a whole.
Local kids or... out of the area, kids choosing to go to a JC, but not the one that's across the street?
No, I think we're getting a lift locally, which is nice. I think that, you know, with the green economy kind of seeing its better days at the moment, we've probably gotten...
burning at the stake?
Yeah. I think we've gotten a lift from local folks that are realizing that they're probably going to have to expand their range of education for some job opportunities at hand.
With the career tech, career ed, whatever, that area.
Right.
Getting as much attention as it has the last couple of years. Is Redwoods, as one of the primary providers of that kind of education, beginning to reap the benefits of that recognition that not everybody needs to go to a four-year, to a medical school, to brain surgery school, to the intern and spend 8 to 10 years getting their pedigree before they can actually go out and do what it is that they want to do?
I'd say we're getting some return in that area at this point, but we're not where we need to be economically or as a school. So, you know, you're fighting 20 years of people being told they need to get a four-year degree, but the trades were not talked up for the last 20 years. Most people in general don't understand that you can go and get a certificate and degree in the trades. And after, you know, getting that accomplished within a couple of years, you're going to go out and make a higher wage than somebody with a four-year degree on average in the country and probably end up making more money over your lifespan than somebody with a four-year degree.
Or netting.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that, you know, I think the public is still being educated on. We're definitely putting a greater emphasis on workforce development. We just got recognized at the Redwood Region Logging Conference for our trucking program and working with the local logging industry and timber industry and modifying the program to try to better meet their needs. We're looking at bringing in a group of contractors to start brainstorming what can we do around our construction program or through our workforce and community education program to try to work with them. I'd like to target these type of brainstorming sessions with specific industry groups and see where there is a fit. It's not always going to work out. You know, we've met with local businesses as an industry group and they'll say, you know, we need this type of employee. How many do you need? 3. And once we hire them, we're going to keep them for a while. And you're like, well, that's not going to work for an educational program. So there's going to be those situations, but there are many situations where, there's a partnership that can be built there. I think it's just Humboldt County and Del Norte County have got to start investing in growing their employees of today and tomorrow. And I know that's a phrase that's been used in the past, but no one's knocking down our doors coming here to work in general. So I think we're going to have to get smarter. And the amount of conversations I've had with local business people that look at me and go, Marty, all I want is for them to show up on time, not be stoned, and can actually provide some customer service and then stay longer than a month. I mean, it's not asking a lot. I just think about when I was...
Yeah, the bar is kind of low on this one.
The bar is kind of low here. But I understand their frustrations. Okay, so what can we do to work together? I think what's happening right now is many of the local businesses are, I'm going to grab as many graduating high school students as I can and put them to work right away. The challenge with that is we're not educating them. You're going to limit their value within your business by not getting them their education. We're not setting up our workforce for long-term success here. And I know it's hard for people to look long-term, but honestly, most of us have been here in Humboldt a while. We're going to stay here a while. We might want to start looking 3, 5, 10 years down the road. And so maybe when you hire your next employee, you say, you know what, I'm going to hire you. But you're going to keep going and taking classes at CR, and we're going to get you your education because that's going to benefit me as a business person, and it's going to benefit you.
I had written down night classes. To me, I would think that that would want to be that an employee and an employer, maybe not the school, right, but the employee and the employer, that would be a perfect marriage. Yeah. Okay, you work till 5, take a class each semester. 6 to 8 o'clock, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or probably not Friday night. And we'll cover your books. You cover the tuition. Okay, fine. And now we've got this partnering. And as long as you're with us, we can continue to do this, whether it's in our field of knowledge, or maybe you want to take an accounting, or maybe a marketing, or maybe a this or a that, so that you bring more to the table for us, and we'll help.
Exactly. Just because this person is doing a certain role in your business today, if you can get them some education 3 years from now, maybe they could take on a greater role for you.
Are there night classes available?
There are night classes in many of the areas, but I think in general, to make it work, there's going to have to be even greater employee flexibility. So you may have to let somebody go out in the afternoon to go take classes on Monday and Wednesday. You know, that's the reality of what we're looking at, and it's a matter of talking and making sure people understand that in order to get people their education, yes, we're going to have some flexibility in place.
Yeah, which is not that big a deal as long as it's planned and anticipated.
Exactly.
In most situations,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. and some stratification at the school, too, that, okay, these are going to be taught from 2 to 4. Well, you can't go 2 to 4 for these 3 months, and then we move into an 8 to 10 in the morning on these, and then over here it's, you know, at some point it becomes too challenging.
Yeah, maybe.
Depending on what your niche is.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
KINS, News and Information Time is 8:19.
We know you love Easy Radio, singing out loud, really out loud, to your favorite songs. But what about when you're traveling out of the area? Easy Radio can be heard throughout the area on 910 AM and 104.1 FM in Curry and Del Norte counties. And if you're in Humboldt County, 980 AM. That's Easy Radio, 910 AM in Brookings, 104.1 FM in Del Norte and Curry County, and 980 AM in Humboldt County. Good radio is easy.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Marty, the concept of the kid coming onto campus, a kid is, I guess, anybody other than my seniors. So now it's including the non-traditional student as well as
the
kid from high school. The experiences that they have wildly differ in the setting, in the classroom setting, whether it's in the vocational end of the programs or the traditional. Has that forced different classes or different class plans to be developed? I mean, you talked about showing up on time, being straight and or clean, and just kind of doing the job. That's all the people are looking for. That wasn't part of the request of a job description 25 years ago.
No, the assumption was that they were going to have all that in place when they showed up. I don't know. It's, you know, I look at my own kids and their challenges. You know, I have a family of four, and so all of them have tried to get jobs when they were in junior high/high school, and they've pulled it off, but it's been quite the challenge to get that job experience for them. I think students nowadays have so many options between recreational sports, clubs and sports at their school, emphasis on getting the highest grades possible, that a lot of times students are not getting the experience that you and me got when we were in the workplace.
I mean,
how many customer service jobs, my goodness, did I have growing up?
Well, how many lawns did you mow?
Oh,
trash cans did you empty?
Yeah.
I mean, sweeping the floor. I mean, basically, not highfalutin, nothing you're going to put on your resume, but just stuff.
No, I was thinking on the drive over this morning, actually, and I think that, you know, I was one of those guys at 15. I was working in a public library. I worked in restaurants. I did landscaping. I did construction. Did a lot of labor jobs. I worked in temperatures of 115 degrees outside in Colorado summers.
So you were a heck of a guy when you were young.
Yeah, I was in good shape. not so much anymore. But what did it teach me? It taught me, I guess I'd call it just work stamina. Physically, mentally, emotionally, how do you grind it out to get your job done? And frankly, all those jobs were not the most exciting jobs. You're at the bottom of the ladder. You're working your way up. And it taught you how to work. And I'm not sure how much of that anymore is being built into our society. And it really does our youth a disservice, because I think there's a bit of a shock when they end up in the workplace. And if they haven't been exposed to enough of that, they aren't prepared for what it takes to grind it out. And I think the expectation is that they probably think they should be working at higher level jobs than probably entry level. And it's like, no, not really. That's not the way it works.
Well, and the whole get it done mentality too. Get it done.
And do anything and everything it takes to get it done. It doesn't just have to be in your job description.
Yeah, that concept is an interesting one. So has that started to be recognized within the classroom setting, that this is some of the stuff that we have to maybe not teach, but certainly reinforce?
Well, the chancellor's office has developed a whole line of courses teaching soft skills, which, you know, if somebody had said 20 years ago, do you have to teach these soft skills? I think I would have been really confused. What do you mean? That's what you're learning when you're doing all these high school and college jobs, per se. But no, it's now we're having to put courses like that into place so people are getting kind of some of their basic workforce training before they actually go out there, which I think it's a good benefit. It's just an interesting place to find ourselves as a society that's where we're at.
I suspect it's going to become more and more of a challenge, too. Not because of technology, but because of the increasing minimum wage. Okay, in a couple of years, okay, we're looking at $15 as a minimum threshold. Well, how many seasonal employment opportunities are there going to be? How many entry levels are there going to be? How many high school kids are going to be able to get a job just because the ROI is ramped up and, you know, we don't have that much wiggle room as a potential employer for some of these kids?
I can see where you're coming from on that. It's interesting, and then you have Humboldt County, where essentially we're stuck in two situations. One, we can't find enough people that, quote-unquote, have skills in education. Now, before 2008, if you look at the early 2000s, the line around in Humboldt County, which was people were basically underemployed. The amount of people walking around with skills in education, people were doing jobs that they were overqualified for by a long shot. A lot of those folks have left. The other gap that we're facing now locally is we don't have people to go into the service trades. A lot of the people that were working in the green economy would work the green economy in season and then go and work restaurants and hotels and those types of service trades in the off season. Well, a lot of those folks have disappeared too. So we're now finding ourselves in this situation.
As are a lot of those jobs.
Right.
As we've seen the depression. Yeah.
Exactly. And so now, you know, you have people like general contractors can't find anybody to do the work or people to cook in restaurants. And then at the same time, when you're trying to find highly skilled people in Humboldt County, there's not a rapidly expanding pool of those people and the amount of folks that want to move to Humboldt County. I mean, as we know, anybody who shows up here, they'll let you know within a month whether it works for them or not.
Which is one of the cool things, you know.
Yes.
Either you are one of us or you're not, and that's okay.
Yeah, can you handle the culture? Can you handle the environment? Can you handle going from perhaps a more metro situation to a very rural situation? There's a lot that folks have to go through. Our students go through it when they come here from out of the area.
What do you mean my cell phone doesn't work every place?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
What do you mean it's supposed to? Just depends on what side of that ledger you're on, huh?
Right.
Oh, but enrollment is up.
Yes, cool. It is, which is very encouraging. And we're in the process now of bringing the seventh graders out on campus. And so, and 1,500 of them.
We'll talk about crowd control when we come back.
Decade of Difference presents the High School Innovate Business Challenge.
I'm Genevieve Regley, encouraging you to go for it and submit an idea. I didn't know if my idea would be selected, but it was, and I learned a lot about my idea and myself. It was a great experience and helped kickstart my business while still attending Ferndale High School.
Learn more at decadeofdifference.org. Deadline to enter is February 15th. Upload your idea and compete for thousands of dollars. It's the Decade of Difference. Be a part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Marty Quello from College of the Redwoods. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, along with Murphy's Markets. Marty, as you look at some of the different challenges that are out there, you mentioned the seventh graders coming on campus. And you, I think I've shared my hour as a family experiences often enough about visiting campuses. Just, you know, boots on ground, so to speak.
Visit, really helps.
Get the shock and awe out of your system.
Yep.
Get it normal. Know what you're starting to look for, and then go forward and conquer. What is the response or the reaction from the seventh graders when they come on campus, if it's their first time? And I would presume for most of them, it probably is their first time on a big time campus. What's their shock and awe?
Well, I think they walk away feeling like it was fun. And I think that that's probably the most valuable thing we can leave them with, is continuing your education can actually be fun. And I think once they sit in the classes and see the teachers, and the teachers usually have kind of specialized activities and modified lectures that they give them, the fact that they get to go around the campus and see everything from the residence halls to the cafeteria to the classrooms, it paints for them what college perhaps looks like. And I can
love your order there. Cafeteria and then classroom.
Hey, they're seventh graders.
Yeah.
The food thing is really important.
And I think that points to some of the amenities. You know, too often I think the shirt and tie club focuses on the classroom. You know, a classroom's a classroom, right? I mean, you could, once you're sitting in a desk somewhere, it could be anywhere USA.
Right.
It's the other stuff that makes the magic really happen.
It really is. It's the quality of the instructor. It's the magic of the campus that you're on. That's the beauty of CR, is it's definitely one of the most beautiful campuses in the community college system, and probably in the whole entire state. And so we get a lot of students from out of the area that come here because they see it online, they go to our website, and they're like, this place is incredible. And so I'm glad we have that type of draw to bring people to the campus.
I wonder if it works the other way. Some of our local kids going down to, probably not Santa Rosa JC, because most are probably familiar with Santa Rosa, but an urban setting where it's all in a building, or everything is concrete, and maybe you've got your three trees on campus, you know, and they're kind of those.
They want to experience something different.
And you
really can't blame them. Although, I mean, we all hear the stories. There's a lot of Humboldt and Del Norte kids that leave the area and go south, and they're back within a year. They're oftentimes overwhelmed, miss family, don't quite have that same connection down there. And you know what? We have the same thing with students that come up this way, both with HSU and NCR, where they don't get connected to the community. One of the things our multicultural center is going to be focusing on is developing programming for a lot of the students that are coming in from out of the area to come up early, see the college, actually go out and camp at Patrick's Point, do some activities in downtown Eureka, take part in some of the local fairs. Become part of the community. See what's there. That's a great approach to take. All students who aren't from Humboldt should really go through these types of experiences, and so they'll feel connected.
I wonder, you know, since most of the rents, you know, if you're starting them sometime in August, they got to be, you know, it starts
right.
August 1, right?
Right.
Can the school provide? Yeah, I know you've got some of the shuttles. Some of the transportation, if somebody coordinates something, so maybe they go to the county fair. Yeah, okay, it's not like the state fair, and it's not like some of the other ones, but it's real. Okay, and not chaperoned, but perhaps, I don't know what you would call it, co-hosted, I guess?
Well, we're looking at building a series of partnerships with our multicultural center. The multicultural center serves all students, and it's incredible in there because it's basically their family away from home. And so it's mostly a lot
of... So it's a support
It's really
group.
A support network for them, and it's incredible to kind of see that transformation take place when they can go to campus and immediately walk into a room and everybody knows who you are. Sound like a TV show, but it's the truth.
Or a bar.
Right.
One of the, yeah,
exactly.
I'm not sure.
So I think.
Boy, are you old.
Yeah. Boy, I'm dating myself. All the Cheers crowd here.
I think that's part of, for those that want to, it forces that engagement into the community. And whether or not you stick around, at least you're making an educated decision then versus the kid that goes to school, takes as many units as they can, goes home, studies, runs to the grocery store, puts their meal together, sleeps, plays a couple video games, back to school tomorrow.
Well, it's interesting because the research shows that in order to retain students, basically is they just need one or two very personal connections on campus. Could be faculty, other students. I mean, it makes complete sense. You need those human connections.
A couple buddies.
Exactly. So yeah. If at CR, we're going to be putting effort into that so that we can help retain our students. Part of our the changes to the chancellor's budget is basically going to be based on retention of our students. And
oh,
so,
really?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a financial incentive.
There's a financial incentive. And obviously, there's a great logic that once you start someone on their educational path, it'd be great to have them finish.
And that puts a higher priority, I would suspect, on local kids because they're already part of the community. The retention percentage would be a little bit higher.
You would think.
Yeah. I wonder if that plays out.
Yeah, I'd have to go look at the data to know for sure. But you would think that we would be able to retain. But at the same time, if you're local, you could go, well, I've got an easy out because I'll come back a semester or two later. Right, and then they disappear and never quite get back on the radar and start their education up again. So
two sides of the sword.
Exactly. It'd be interesting to look at the data and see how it plays out there. So anyway, we'll build up a partnership structure where we'll be talking to businesses and local organizations about supporting these type of experience initiatives through the Multicultural Center. And I think that will benefit not only our students, but the community as a whole.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hey, Humboldt County. The folks at Fly Humboldt want to say thank you for all your support. The Los Angeles flight is a great success. Did you hear? Starting May 29th, we'll have a second departure to Los Angeles. It makes it even easier to visit sunny SoCal. What's more, we'll have flights to Denver starting June 7th. You'll only be a few hours away from the Mile High City or wherever you want to go. This will make connecting to the world even easier. Get more information at flyhumboldt.org or email us at info@flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times. It's 8:46. It is. Time is 8:46. Got threw a plural in there. Marty, one of the things I think that would be really interesting is if, you know, for the kids coming to CR and to Humboldt also, because certainly Humboldt has the same situation of people coming here and then going, I'm not sure, you know, the surface stuff.
Right.
Would be if there was a go-to spot of volunteers or things to do and just had a list, you know, a checklist. Redwood National Park, okay. Patrick's Point, Avenue of the Giants, Shelter Cove, Old Town Eureka, Ferndale. Ticking off a number of the tourist spots that if you're new to a community, you don't know where they are. Yeah, and to take advantage of and kind of go out and see. And then with the volunteer listing, people who need help. So if you're so inclined, and you got an extra 3 hours on a Saturday.
Right, exactly. Well,
places you can connect into the community as well as places to go to see what the community really is.
Yeah, Humboldt and Del Norte are built off of nonprofits. I think the last numbers on the number of nonprofits in Humboldt County were 750. I've always been a little skeptical. I know it includes all the mom and pops, but
I was thinking gazillion.
The counties are built on nonprofit activities. We our multicultural center, they do volunteer for activities. I think they're going to look at doing more of that down the road. I think that that's a great way to network into the community, to meet people, to feel connected, and you're going to be valued that way as well. And
appreciated for doing that.
Right, exactly. And the fact of the matter is that everybody can use a little extra volunteer help. And so the amount of opportunities, and, you know, that's how people meet each other. And in Humboldt County or in Del Norte or in, frankly, the world, the easiest way to get a job is because someone knows you and it's taken away the risk factor, right? I agree with you. I think that maybe HSU will focus on the same thing, this trying to create these experiences for students coming into the area so that they can feel part of the community.
One quick thing, you mentioned Humboldt, and I know we've only got a minute or so left. The news release about the nursing department.
Yeah.
Is that part of that extension that Redwoods and Humboldt have been talking about over the last years? And bringing this thing back?
Oh, yeah. That was an initiative that our president, Keith Flamer, really spearheaded in working with HSU to bring that back. St. Joe's prefers hiring nurses with bachelor's degrees. So there's more economic pressure now to make sure that we get them past the two-year degree to a four-year degree. It's exciting that program is going back into place. Hopefully it ends up, we encourage some of those students to get their master's and come back and teach at CR. You know, it's a whole system that really needs to be in place to ensure that our nursing programs are strong here on the North Coast.
Particularly as we're getting the climate refugees.
Yeah.
Listen to me say that smoothly. Okay, people coming here because of the weather.
Exactly. Yes. Well,
they're going to be older, and there's going to be more and more need for health and health care.
We're becoming older as a community, and we have folks that are moving up here and retiring. And so the needs for those who are 65 plus years of age is going to increase. It's happening nationwide. Every day, 10,000 people are turning 65, and it's supposed to go for the next 20 years. You do the math, it's pretty daunting.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
Yeah, thanks, Brent.
Enjoy your weekend. See everybody tomorrow.